Welcome, and thank you for standing by. At this time, all participants are in a listen-only mode. During the question-and-answer session, please press star one to ask a question. Today's conference is being recorded. If you have any objections, you may disconnect at this time. And now I would like to turn the call over to the Department of Labor. You may begin.
Good morning, everyone. This is Elizabeth Alexander. I'm with the Office of Public Affairs with Department of Labor. I want to thank everyone for participating in this important call. We certainly appreciate your time this morning. I'd like to start by handing the call over to Dr. David Michaels, who is the Assistant Secretary for our Occupational Safety and Health Administration. Dr. Michaels?
Thank you, and good morning. I'm Dr. David Michaels. Thank you all for joining this news conference, especially for meteorologists and weather reporters. Today is one of those days when I know many of you are reporting high temperatures around the country. We're only in the first days of summer, but already many cities, including here in Washington, D.C., have experienced very hot days. And I don't need to tell you there's a scorching heat wave in the southwestern parts of the country. Whenever there is high heat, outdoor workers are at increased risk for heat-related illnesses and deaths. In fact, every year, thousands of workers experience heat-related illnesses, and dozens more are killed by heat. It happens in every part of the country. That's why the Department of Labor has launched a nationwide awareness campaign for the last 2 years to keep outdoor workers safe on the job. It's critical that we work together again this summer to get the word out that working in high heat can be deadly. Here's one example, and we have many, unfortunately. Last summer in New Jersey, a 47-year-old sanitation worker started showing signs of illness when he was working. He began work at 6:30 in the morning, and by 3:30, the temperature outside was 93 degrees. He collapsed, was rushed to the hospital, where his internal body temperature had reached 106.9, and he died of heat stroke. His death was easily preventable. OSHA's investigation determined that his employers failed to ensure that their workers consumed enough fluid, and they failed to properly train their employees on how to recognize and respond to the signs of heat stress. Now, we've already seen several heat-related fatalities this year, and we really don't want to see any more. You can help. We're asking you share our campaign's simple three-word message: water, rest, shade. If outdoor workers take these precautions, it can mean the difference between life and death. The workers most at risk for heat-related illness are in construction and agriculture, but there are many outdoor workers in other industries who are at increased risk as well. These include workers in transportation, sanitation and recycling, building and grounds maintenance, landscaping services, oil and gas drilling operations, and anyone else who does strenuous work in the outdoor air. We need your help to get the word out to employers that they are responsible for providing workplaces that are safe from excessive heat. This means regular breaks for workers so they can cool down. It means regular access to water so workers can stay hydrated. It means training for workers on the symptoms of heat illness and what to do if they see a coworker showing signs of dehydration or heat stroke. So OSHA has five key pieces of advice. One, drink water every 15 minutes, even if you're not thirsty. Two, rest in the shade to cool down. Three, wear a hat and light-colored clothing. Four, learn the signs of heat illness and what to do in an emergency. And five, keep your eyes on your fellow workers. Now, you all have probably know that the National Weather Service now includes worker safety information in all of its extreme heat alerts, and important worker safety information is now on the National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration's HeatWatch webpage. We are very grateful to the National Weather Service and to NOAA for their partnership in this important initiative. So with me today is Dr. Louis Fucellini, Director of the National Weather Service, who will tell us about the dangerous temperatures and weather trends that are expected this summer. Dr. Fucellini, please.
Thank you, Dr. Michaels. The National Weather Service is pleased to continue partnering with you and OSHA to highlight the hazard of excessive heat for outdoor workers and the general public. I am glad to have this opportunity to talk with you, the media, about protecting the public from the impacts of excessive heat. You are a core partner committed to improving the public's awareness, preparedness, and response to extreme weather. You play a critical role in your communities and across the nation. Now, I do want to relate a personal experience here. I became personally interested in excessive heat following the 1995 Chicago heat wave. Temperatures soared to 106 at Midway Airport and across many of the cities from St. Louis into southern Michigan. More than 700 people died over a five-day period. Many of the victims were elderly, poor residents who couldn't afford air conditioning and died after sustained high temperatures overnight. Heat waves become a nighttime killer if temperatures don't recover after a hot day. Since the Chicago heat wave, the National Weather Service has established a partnership with OSHA and other federal agencies, including EPA, CDC, Center for Disease Control, and Department of Transportation, to provide information to the public about the dangers of heat. Heat is a silent killer, unlike such hazards as damaging winds or flooding. Many people often don't even recognize they are in trouble until they need medical assistance. In fact, according to the data collected by the Center for Disease Control, the 10-year annual average mortality from heat stands at 658. On average, that is more deaths than floods, lightning, tornadoes, and hurricanes combined. As you know, excessively hot temperatures are spreading across the United States. This past weekend in the Southwest, temperatures reached well above 110 across many locales, including Las Vegas and Phoenix. Temperatures were above 120 in the deserts, such as those near Palm Springs and Death Valley. Thanks to continuing improvements in numerical weather prediction, we have an increased ability to predict these heat waves many days in advance. I am proud to tell you that the current heat wave was predicted over a week in advance, giving people, agencies, many days to prepare for this particular heat wave. Such advanced lead time enables us to inform the public, organizations, and governments so they can take the necessary steps to protect health and lives. We expect many hot and dangerous days ahead. The 4th of July weekend outlook is for continued very hot weather in these same areas in the Southwest, with above normal temperatures also expected all the way up the Pacific coast and then eastward into Idaho and Montana. New York and New England also will have above normal temperatures over the holiday weekend. Back to highlighting our partnership with OSHA. For the third summer now, every one of our heat advisories and excessive heat warnings contains language targeted towards outdoor workers. Specifically, these messages provide advice to seek water, rest, and shade, as you just heard, and take frequent breaks, especially if air-conditioned or shaded environments are nearby. As noted earlier, the National Weather Service provides a number of general heat safety tips on the NOAA Watch website at www.noaawatch.gov. And some of these key tips are to wear light-colored, lightweight clothing, drink plenty of water, avoid prolonged exposure to direct sun during the peak hours, and use sunscreen. I also wanted to take this opportunity to point out the danger of leaving babies, small children, and pets in vehicles. Over 500 children have died since 1998 from being left in hot vehicles. These are preventable tragedies. I hope you will share these tips and information with your viewers and listeners this summer season when temperatures and heat indices reach dangerous levels. I thank you for supporting our mission to protect public safety and for helping us build a weather-ready nation. So at this point, I'd like to turn this back to Dr. Michaels.
Thank you so much, Dr. Uccellini. So before we take your questions, I want to take a moment to tell you a little more about OSHA's heat awareness campaign. And since we launched this campaign two summers ago, we've reached more than 7.5 million workers and employers. We've held thousands of events, trainings, and presentations. We've distributed nearly 500,000 posters, fact sheets, and other educational materials in English and Spanish. Well, we found that in general, the workers who are most at risk for heat-related illnesses are those who are new to outdoor jobs, especially temporary workers. Once a worker is acclimated to heat, their risk is lower. Seasonal workers can be considered new even if they've been working every season for several years. Gradually increasing the workload and giving workers time to acclimate allows them to build tolerance to heat. This is critically important for workers who are new to working outdoors in heat or who have been away from working in heat for a week or more or at the beginning of a heat wave. Employers need to be especially concerned about these workers in the heat, but they have to make sure that every worker is protected with water, rest, and shade, whether a worker has been on the job one day or 25 years. You know, it's sometimes referred to as heat stress, but what we're really talking about is a range of heat illnesses that a person can experience if the right precautions aren't taken when working outdoors. This can mean an increase in body temperature, in blood pressure, in breathing rate, and very commonly sweating, excessive sweating or dizziness or confusion. And those are important signs people should know about. So the two most important illnesses to watch out for are heat exhaustion and heat stroke. The symptoms of heat exhaustion are headache, nausea, dizziness, weakness, thirst, and heavy sweating. And heat exhaustion can turn into heat stroke quickly if immediate action is not taken. And as all of you probably know, heat stroke is the most serious heat-related illness and requires immediate medical attention. Symptoms of heat stroke include confusion, fainting, seizures, very high body temperature, and hot, dry skin or profuse sweating. The visible signs of heat stroke are red, hot, dry skin, or excessive sweating, confusion, seizures, and fainting. Now, in both cases, for heat exhaustion or heat stroke, a person may not recognize the signs themselves, so it's very important to look for signs in coworkers and companions. We tell workers to take heat exhaustion very seriously and stop for first aid before it becomes heat stroke. And we suggest that every worker work in a buddy system to help them to monitor themselves and their coworkers. These are life-saving messages that we hope that you'll share. Now, a central element of the campaign is our updated OSHA Heat Campaign webpage, which is available in both English and Spanish, which provides access to the online tools and resources on our webpage. And you can get to that at www.osha.gov. It's very prominently featured right on our OSHA webpage. Several of our most popular resources include the Illustrated Low Literacy Fact Sheet and Workplace Poster, released in both English and Spanish, and it's focused on reaching workers with limited English proficiency, as well as the OSHA Heat Illness Prevention Training Guide, which is downloadable, which includes information in short interactive lesson plans that can be completed in a tailgate or a toolbox talk. Those are things that employers often use. A supervisor will get workers together in the morning at a construction site and give a toolbox talk, and we'd like heat illness prevention to be one of those. And we have two new resources developed in coordination with the National Weather Service, which use the heat index of heat and humidity as a trigger for employers and workers. One is the heat index guidance for employers, which is designed to help employers and supervisors prepare for hot weather and implement hot weather plans. It outlines specific steps employers should take to reduce the risk of illness and includes detailed information about how to establish work rest schedules, acclimatize workers, conduct training, and monitor workers for heat illness. The other resource, which we're very proud of, is our smartphone app, our heat safety tool, which can help employers and workers monitor dangerous heat levels through the summer. So this app allows anyone who has the appropriate smartphone to calculate the heat index for a worksite. The app pulls data directly from NOAA to perform heat index calculations, and based on that index, it displays a risk level and the protective measures that should be taken to prevent heat illness. Through simple action-oriented statements and illustrations, the app provides the user with reminders about the protective measures that should be taken at that risk level to protect workers from heat illness, and includes, of course, an option to contact OSHA. Just hit the button. The app is available on iPhone and Android, and it's actually been downloaded more than 72,000 times. So it's getting out there, but we think that's a very important thing for all of you to talk about and to show, because that's a great tool workers can have. They have something in their pocket to say, look, at this temperature, this is what I should be doing. So finally, I'd like to ask for your help in incorporating worker safety into your broadcasts. Often, when reporting heat-related stories, you highlight those most at risk, young children, the elderly, pets, And that's important, but you'll also be doing a vital public service if you also include outdoor workers as a reminder that they too are at risk, especially during heat waves. Now, workers often can't get out of the heat. Their work requires them to be exposed daily, hourly, and they may not be able to use the advice aimed at the general public. So calling them out specifically when you announce a heat wave and discussing their risks and prevention is important. And so there's language that NOAA uses for excessive heat warnings. We could send that to you. It's also on our website. That is a great message that NOAA puts out. OSHA also has compliance assistance specialists throughout the country who are ready to meet with employers to talk about prevention and provide training on heat illness prevention. And our staff can be a resource to you, too. But when you're broadcasting severe temperatures this summer, we're asking you to share our campaign's three-word message aimed at workers: water, rest, shade. If outdoor workers take these precautions, it can mean the difference between life and death. Anyone overcome by heat should be moved into the shade immediately, and 911 should be called because heat stroke is an emergency. It's my hope that with all of us working together, we can build a network of broadcasters who can respond quickly to extreme heat and get our message out to workers across the country when they need us the most. I have no doubt that by working together, we can save lives. So thank you again for joining us today, and we welcome your questions.
Thank you, sir. And at this time, if you would like to ask a question, please press star 1, and to withdraw the question, you may press star 2. One moment, please, for the first question. First question today comes from Jessica Montoyo from KNDO. Your line is open.
Yes, thank you. Good morning. I would like to know the app again. I missed the number of the application on the smartphone and the Android.
I'm sorry. The 72,000 downloads of our smartphone app, and actually that app is in English and Spanish.
Oh, great. Thank you.
Next question.
The next question comes from Emily Eaton of Cronkite News. Your line is open.
Hi, thank you. I was just wanting to know about the fires in Prescott, Arizona, which recently took 19 firefighters' lives, and what your message would be to those workers who were those firefighters who are working there today and in the following week.
Yes, you know. All of us here at the Department of Labor are saddened by this tragedy, and you know, our condolences go out to the families of all those brave firefighters who really are heroes. And we work very closely with the fire service and the fire the hotshot teams around the country to ensure that workers are safe, and we've offered our services to we're reaching out today to Arizona and to other firefighting teams around the country to provide them any help that's needed to ensure that additional firefighters aren't injured or killed in fighting these very severe fires.
Thank you very much. Next question.
Thank you. And I will remind participants just to press star 1 to ask a question. Our next question does come from Chris Alcantara of Palm Beach Post. Your line is open.
Hi, I just wanted to get the average number of people who die from heat-related illnesses per year. I think it was, believe, every year, and you said it was more than hurricanes, lightnings, and floods combined. I just missed that number. I just wanted to see if you can tell me again.
Yeah, the annual average mortality from heat stands at 658.
Okay.
This is provided by the Center for Disease Control, and it's a 10-year average.
And if I can add, the Bureau of Labor Statistics gets reports of more than 60 workers a year, which is part of that group, who die of heat. But we know that's an underestimate because many of the work-related fatalities from heat are never recorded as heat.
All right, thank you.
Next question, please.
The next question comes from Denise Douglas of CTV News. Your line is open.
Thank you. I wasn't clear on how they said or what website in order to get the app. I wasn't clear on that. Can you repeat exactly how to access it?
Yeah, the easiest thing is to go to just www.osha.gov, and we have a big box right in the top right-hand part that says Heat Campaign or Heat, and then if you click on that, it will get you there. But it's right on the Heat Campaign is right on the top. It rotates. You may have to wait for a moment. But the top right-hand corner has several important campaigns. If Heat 1 isn't up there, you know, wait 10 seconds, another one will come up.
Thank you.
Thank you. Next question, please.
Next question comes from Ava Marie of WBAL-TV. Your line is open.
Hi, thank you. Do you find that more heat-related illnesses and deaths come during a hot and dry pattern or a hot and humid weather pattern?
This is Louis Uccellini. I can provide some insight to that. I mean, the type of heat and dryness we're seeing in the Southwest certainly it can lead to deaths and illnesses. But you don't have to get that hot, as we're seeing this past weekend, if the dew points are also high. And what we have found that these overnight situations where the minimum temperature does not get into the 70s and there are high dew points become particularly threatening to elderly people, especially those that remain in their apartments without proper ventilation. So the combination of heat and humidity can be a killer in areas, especially in the city areas. That's why the heat index itself is a key index to use because it takes these variables into consideration when we're mapping out, you know, the threat to the general population and to the workers, as was noted earlier.
Thank you.
Go ahead. Next question.
Next question. Carl Bell of KNBC-TV. Your line is open.
Hey, just to let everybody know, while we were on the call, I went ahead and just went to the iTunes app store, and it's available there. You don't have to trudge through the OSHA website and find whatever. You just go straight to your iPhone app so you can get it there. I just downloaded it.
Thank you. That's very helpful. And, yes, we should note it is free of charge on iTunes. Thank you. Any other questions? Any additional questions?
Yes, ma'am. The next question comes from Nancy Gardner of Omaha, Nebraska World Herald. Your line is open.
Yeah, a lot of the shelters that open up during heat waves are open during the day but not at night. Do you have a recommendation for the American Red Cross and others, the Salvation Army, that do these shelters? You know, in other words, can they keep them open overnight for people to sleep in? And then also, what did OSHA find that company where that guy died? Thank you.
You know, I don't have the information directly in front of me of what our fine was. There certainly was a fine. In that case, actually, what was interesting about that fine is that case, we actually issued citations against both the sanitation company and the temporary employer, the temporary staffing agency that sent the that worker to the sanitation company because they had a role in it as well. One thing that we've seen over and over again is temporary workers who get sent to new jobs who are not acclimated, and essentially they're not treated as well as permanent workers might be. And so we've had a number of temporary workers recently who have died of heat stroke, their first or second day on the job. And while that's a problem all the time, it's certainly a problem you know, at the beginning of a heat wave, workers are in worse shape. But any time a worker starts a job in the summer, we're concerned about workers who are not acclimated developing heat illness or having a heat-related fatality.
And then any thought on the Salvation Army Red Cross recommendation, any recommendation about keeping shelters open overnight? Thank you.
Well, we have partnerships through various cities, and we're actually going to look into that in terms of how these shelters are operated. Because in general, what we have found is that the city shelters are kept open at night. So, and it does become a critical factor because like I said before, if we have a high nighttime minimum with high relative humidity, it's particularly dangerous.
Okay, so some cities do. And was that Dr. Alexander? Dr. Michaels just now?
No, this is Dr. Cellini.
Okay, thank you.
And next question, please.
Next question comes from Bruce Rolfson of Bloomberg. Your line is open.
This is for Dr. Michaels. Dr. Michaels, when inspectors are out visiting, construction sites or, where workers are outside, is one of the things are they looking for are training records or talking to the workers about what training they've had to deal with the heat?
We're certainly asking workers, have they been given the information that they need? And more importantly, have they been given the opportunity to get water, rest, and shade? We're not so much focused on records, but just on the reality. What's going on there? What exposures have people had? And we certainly do this after we get complaints or reports of fatality. We're already investigating 3 fatalities this year.
Okay. Thank you.
Next question, please.
Next question comes from Jessica Montoya. Your line is open.
Yes, thank you. I would like to ask, when it says the main message, which is the water rest and shade, for people who work outdoors, how long would you say, they take rest, like 20, 30 minutes, when the body, starts having these signs or symptoms before actually having a heat exhaustion?
That's good. That's a great question, and that's actually why we have our smartphone app, because it very much depends on the heat humidity index. And so in certain conditions, you may be working 40 minutes and taking a break. In other conditions, it may be, if it's hot enough and humid enough, you may have to take a break after 20 minutes. It really depends, but it's got to be fact specific. And so the smartphone app actually answers that question for you.
Thank you very much for your question. I don't believe there are any additional questions, but I wanted to double-check with the operator. Any additional questions?
Just one, ma'am. One additional question. Nancy Gardner of the Omaha, Nebraska World Herald. Okay. Your line is open.
Hey, thanks again. So these are recommendations, right? This is not enforceable? Or if it's enforceable, how do you inspect for this? Thank you.
Two things. First, to get back to your earlier question, we just pulled up the information from our case last year, and we issued $7,000 fines against the waste management of Trenton and Labor Ready Northeast. Each of them, for that fatality that I talked about, there were 2 $7,000 fines. And this actually relates to your other question. We do not have a standard for heat. There is one in California, and California OSHA does enforce it. But we use our general duty clause, which essentially says that employers are responsible for providing a workplace free of recognized hazards. And so if we go in there and we see, especially after a worker has been made sick or has been killed or there's a complaint, we look to see what's been done. And we will issue a citation if we think that workplace was hazardous because workers weren't given the opportunity to rest or to get shade or to drink water.
Thank you very much for your questions. Any final questions?
No, ma'am. There are no further questions in queue at this time.
Wonderful. We want to thank everyone for participating and encourage you to visit both the OSHA website and, the NOAA website for additional information on this important topic. Thanks again for your time.
And thanks, everybody, for participating in today's conference. You may all disconnect at this time.